just say good morning to everyone. And it's always good to see our brothers and our sisters in Christ. And even more so, it's good to see those of you who are not yet members of the Churches of Christ. We want you to know that you are indeed our honored guests, and we are pleased and we are privileged to have you in our presence, and we hope that you will come back again and again. And we ask if you will be so kind to fill out a visitor's card so that we might have a record of your visit. We'd like to give you a welcome packet to let you know we appreciate you coming and visiting with us. And this is just really just scraping the surface when it comes to the information you can learn and study when you get involved in the Bible studies that we offer. We believe the more you know, the better off you will be. And you owe it to yourself before you leave this world to find out as much as you can. Somebody said, and I thought it was true, the Bible meant basic instructions before leaving the earth. that you need to learn as much as you can before you stand before God. You don't want to stand before God tomorrow. I didn't know that. When God has blessed you with 40 and 50 and 60 and 70 and some of us 80 years to learn what God will want you to know. So we hope that you will take advantage of that. And also, as you look through the motivators, make sure that you read the information that's there. You will notice that we have a section in there letting you know what events are coming up. There is a table in the lobby for you to sign up, and we hope that you will take advantage of that so we will have an idea of what to expect and who to expect to participate in those events. We are looking forward to having a great time. So if you have not received one, make sure that you get one on out the door. There's some on the table. We also have a table set up. Sister Kane will be there where you can pick up your copy of the membership directory. We only have 100 copies. We got some more that's going to be in print, but every member can have one. Not necessarily it means one per family, but if you are baptized and you would like to have one, you stop by the table, you see Sister Kane, you sign your name that you are receiving one, so we also would know what members they went to. So we hope that you will cooperate with all of that, and we look forward to just great things happening. We want to put a plug in for the youth rally coming up on Saturday. Amen. We're looking forward to a crowd. There is a workshop for parents, so we want to encourage all parents to come, and Brother Miles, I believe, will be doing that workshop, and we're looking forward to having a great, great time. We have a guest speaker. We have some speeches by youth, and we want to encourage you to come and to support our young people and what we are trying to do and helping them with the struggles that they deal with. The young folk got some struggles, you know, and they need some encouragement, and they need some help, and they need to know that there are some Christians who are concerned about the young folk. If you are struggling with the $10 issue, well, you talk to us about it. You know, you've been laid off and no money's coming in, all that, you know. I'm quite sure there's somebody here. Don't let that deter you from coming. That's just designed to offset some of the expenses and the things that we're trying to do and putting into this effort. So we hope that you will come. Make sure that you stop by the table. I'm quite sure somebody from the youth ministry will be at the table as well, taking your money and signing up the young people for this youth rally. We normally would average 250 or so, and I don't think it should drop down because of an excuse. I believe we ought to maintain the momentum. Amen. And it can be done if we support the youth rally. If you are concerned about the young folk, we look forward to seeing you here on Saturday. Amen. This morning, I want to look at an old familiar passage of Scripture. We looked at this Scripture some time ago. And we tried our best to interpret it correctly. But one thing I do know for sure, that John is talking about the devil. Out of all the interpretations we may embrace, we know he's talking about the devil. So today I got to talk a little bit about the devil. You might know him. He might be your bosom buddy. He may be a distant friend. He might be a relative. But we do know that the devil is real. John writes, in our text for today, there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was there found any more a place any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accuseth them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman, which brought forth the man child, and the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time, and times, and a half a time, from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that it might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Beautiful lesson. In a nutshell, I think John is saying the devil is mad. And the devil don't want you to be close to God. And the devil is going to do all that he can to mess up this relationship that you have with God. In our text, he says that there was a dispute going on in heaven. A war, if you will. There was some friction going on between Michael and Lucifer, some may call him. That old serpent, that old dragon. And the Bible says he could not prevail, and neither was there any place found for him anymore in heaven. In other words, he was thrown out of heaven. God would not put up with disobedience. You cannot rise up against God and still be right with God. So he was cast out. And the Bible says in verse number 9, that old serpent, that devil, if you will, the Bible says he deceiveth the whole world. It is his job to deceive the world. Somebody suggested if you were to take the D out of the word devil, you have evil. And we know that he is the epitome of what evil is all about. Everything that you can think of that is evil, it originated with the devil. He is behind every lie. He is behind every falsehood. He has deceive the world to thinking that good is bad and bad is good. They call things that are righteous unrighteous and things that are unrighteous righteous. The world is confused because of the devil. The devil has been manipulating. The devil has been infiltrating. The devil has been annihilating, if you will, mankind and leading many souls to hell. It is his objective to get as many as he possibly can to go to hell. For the text says in verse number 12, he mad because he know he has, but you know, what's your Bible say? A short time. He's limited on time. So he's bent to use his time wisely. So however long God's going to let him stay here, he's going to spend every awakening moment making our lives miserable. Do you know him? He's behind every corner. He's behind every scheme. He's behind every plan that has been messed up. The devil is behind all this. The Bible says he deceives the world. In verse 9, the Bible says he is an accuser of the brethren. He's always making accusations. You remember back there in the book of Job where he roamed to and fro, and God said, Satan, what you up to? Roaming around looking for somebody to mess up. Even Peter said he's like a roaring lion. He walketh about seeking whom he may devour. But the admonishment was to resist him steadfast in the faith. In other words, you don't have to let Satan mess up your life. You can fight him back. And you can win. But many times what he does, Paul says, he takes advantage of our ignorance when we don't know any better. We don't know how to fight him at his own game. We don't study the word of God. We're not connected to fellowship with Christians. We are vulnerable to Satan, and Satan gets us every time. Satan uses the same old tricks. Hey, you ever been fooled twice by some same person? And you said, well, the first time, you know, shame on you. But the second time, shame on me. I should have known better. But that's how Satan gets us. He gets us when we are vulnerable. He gets us when we are ignorant, when we just don't really pay attention. That's why Paul said, we ought to work circumspectly and not as fools, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Satan is out there. And he's trying to do his best to mess up our lives. You know by now I'm going to talk about Satan. I want to talk to you from the subject, the devil is busy. The devil is busy. Bible says in verse number 12 that the devil has come down to you having great wrath because he know that he hath but a short time. And when he came, he started persecuting the woman. When we look at this particular scriptures, we can't help but to go back to the Genesis account. You remember in Genesis chapter 3, when we look at 2 Corinthians as well, when he had deceived the woman. And then it was pronounced upon her, when he pronounced the devil rather, he said that her seed gonna bruise your seed's head. And your seed is going to bruise her seed's heel. And we find that prediction coming true when Jesus came. And when they put him in the grave, which was a minor injury. But when Jesus got up from the grave, it gave a final blow. It just blew his mind. Because Satan thought he had Jesus. Jesus came through a lineage that came from Israel, which was the wife of Jehovah. So that's the woman that we see here. And even when we get to the New Testament and we look at the church is always called in a female sense. The people of God has always been depicted in a female sense when the church is called the bride of Christ. And in both instances, they bear children. They are the save of the generation. And the devil don't like that. He tried to kill Jesus. He tried to kill Moses. He tried to stop this woman, if you will, from bringing salvation to the world. And the devil tried to use Pharaoh to get Moses back in the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, Herod tried to get Jesus, trying to stop. But every time they tried to stop it, God fixed something. God fixed so the earth blessed the woman. And the devil was mad, even more so. And he turned his anger to the seed that represents all of God's children. If I can't get God, I'm going to get you. And so the devil, we know for a fact, he's busy. Jesus said some time ago in John chapter 8 and verse number 44 that he was a murderer from the beginning. The story of Cain and Abel comes to mind, where we find the first murder in the Bible. Where Cain had killed his brother, it was told to him by the Lord, sin lieth at your door. See, it was Satan who introduced sin in the first place. And sin will cause you to do things that you never thought you would do. Do I have a witness here? And you wonder, I can't believe I did that. Because when the devil gets in me and when the devil gets in you, there's no telling what you will do. Amen. Paul's argument in Romans chapter 4, he says, no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. So when the devil gets in me, and you know that phrase, the devil is in you. Anybody ever had the devil in you? Come on now. Sometimes people look at you and say, you know, you got the devil in you. They can look at you in the eyes and there's some devil in you. They watch the way you talk and the things you do. And they say, you know, the devil is in her. You know, the devil is in him. And the devil has the tendency of getting in all of us, at least every once in a while, and act out his will. But Jesus tried to warn them in John chapter 8. He said, you know, the devil is a murderer. He was a murderer from the beginning. And he is your devil, your daddy. And you're going to do the will of your daddy. That's why you're all trying to murder me. Because the devil is in you. If God was in you, you wouldn't be hating me. If God was in you, you wouldn't be trying to murder me. But the fact that you are doing things against God is because the devil is in you. And this is not something new. It's nothing new under the sun. Because the devil been doing this for a long time. Not only did he say the devil is a murderer, but he said the devil is a liar. He lied to Eve back there in the Genesis account. He told her, you know, the scripture don't really mean that. That's not what God is hard on you. He didn't say thou shalt surely die. He said thou shalt not surely die. That's a lie. I don't care if you change one word. In the sentence, it's a lie, and you have to call it what it is. The devil is a deceiver, and people who are caught up in deception, they are also people who tell lies. You ever told any lies? I don't want to raise your hand. In Revelation 21, he said all lies gonna go to hell. That's the seriousness of a lie. Somebody said, "I'd rather for you to steal from me than to lie to me." Because when you steal from me, you do that behind my back. But when you lie to me, you do that in front of my face. So let me ask you again, have you ever lied to somebody? It was the devil who influenced you to do it. So Jesus said, the reason you are lying is because of the devil. Oh, he's been a liar from the beginning. He is a murderer and he is a liar. And he said he's also a thief. Anybody ever stole? Yeah, I got your own blast. You ever stole something? I mean, you took something that wasn't yours. And most of the time, stealing and lying go together. Because then when you stole it, you know, you ask the kid, did you eat them cookies? Mm-mm. So you got to lie to cover up thievery. And then if you don't want to get caught that bad, you kill a fella. Because you won't get caught. Hey, amen, somebody. I remember some years ago, a person got a girl pregnant and he didn't want folks to know about it. He decided to burn her body up and dispose of her somewhere and then started lying about it. And they caught him and put him in jail. Because he's stealing and he was lying and he murdered. How can a person do that? The devil. Amen. Amen. Now, when the devil get in you, there's no telling what you're going to do. So Jesus already had pre-warned them that this is the way the devil is. He knows how to get through us. He knows how to get to us. He gets through our desires. There are times you want something so bad. And that's where the word lust comes from. Lust means evil desire. It means you want that which is forbidden. It's something God say you can't have, but you want it so bad that your lust leads you to disobey God. And Satan knows when you have those moments, when those desires, come on now, Satan knows when you are weak and he knows when those desires are strong. He knows when Kobe wants those cookies. He knows the rule of the house says you don't get no cookies until we say so. But he don't like the rule. But that strong desire to get those cookies are overwhelming. And they will cause him to risk getting punished. Risk getting caught. Risk disappointing those who made the rule. I'm going somewhere with this thing. Bear with me now. That when that desire is strong in you, and if you don't deal with it, Satan will use that to perform his will in your life. He knows how to get us through our defects. He knows there are areas in our lives that are not perfect. Amen. I remember talking to somebody some years ago, and they was caught up in fornication. And I asked them, I say, what are you doing about it? You know, they say, you know what the scriptures say. I hate when people use scripture to try to justify sin. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says the flesh is weak. But, you know, what scripture? The spirit is willing. You know, in my heart, I want to do right. God knows my heart. That sounds foolish. Here you land up in bed with somebody not yours. Talking about God knows your heart. Let me tell you about your heart. Your heart is wicked. Your heart is evil. Your heart is filled with disobedience. The devil has deceived you in thinking that what you're doing is not wrong. And he's trying to justify it before some weak church folk who don't know any better, or they caught up in sympathizing with you. And that's what the devil, if you can't beat them, join them. If I can't change them, sympathize with them. Desensitize me to sin. So I stand and say, well, it ain't all that bad. So now he will get us in our defects. He gets you in your defeats. You're lost. You're down. You're out. You're lonely. You feel defeated. The world is on your shoulders. You're saying, I don't deserve all this punishment and anxiety and trials and tribulation is it beating me down and I'm weak. It's almost like being on the rebound. You know about being on the rebound, don't you? That's when you get dumped by somebody you're dating and you're vulnerable. And then somebody else comes along and pats you on your head. And you're in bed. He knows how to get you through your defeats. I'm just feeling so bad right now. I'm feeling so vulnerable. And Satan knows it. Somebody like, you know what I'm talking about here. So he's a master at distracting us. You ever been distracted? You ought to be focused on what you're doing, but you can't because you're distracted. And Satan knows how to distract us. We ought to be walking on the straight and the narrow way, but Satan puts stuff along the side of the road. Amen, somebody. You got your mind made up when you got up this morning. I'm going to be focused today. Today is going to be a focused day. And before you get in your car, Satan, there's some distraction that came along. Before the day is over, you done yielded to something that was sinful. He knows how to distract us. He's a master at what he's doing. But when I thought about Satan, when it comes to the church, because Satan is against the church. All saved folk are in the church. Satan doesn't want you to be in the church. Satan don't want you to be faithful to the church. So there's some things that Satan just does. You remember Paul talked about it. Hold your finger there. You remember Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul had made mention to how he was jealous with a godly jealousy. And you remember the Apostle Paul was writing to them because, you know, Corinth was probably one of those congregations that had all kinds of problems. Every chapter, he's dealing with an issue, something they were going through. But the main problem was, the undergirding problem that all these things stem from was they were immature. And say, when you're not growing in Christ, all kinds of stuff going to come up and come out. And so Paul, in writing to them, Paul says in verse number 1, "Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy." He's using some terminology that they can understand, because first of all, how are you going to say you're jealous and you're a preacher or you're a man of God? You're not supposed to. I thought jealousy was a sin, but he said, bear with me in my folly, if you will. He said, I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. I have introduced you to the Lord Jesus Christ. You're now the bride of Christ. You ought to be free from any impurity. You are a bride of Christ. He said, but you're in love with somebody else. You're in love with somebody else. He said, and I'm jealous because you love her more than you love me. I ain't picking on about it. I'm just trying to make a point. In other words, he said, hey, I'm jealous because you act like you love the world more than you love the church. Now, I'm jealous with a godly jealousy because I wish you loved me like you love the world. If you put as much time in me as you put in the world, I wouldn't have a reason to be jealous. Amen. So Paul says, I'm jealous. I've introduced you to Christ, to the body of Christ, but yet you have allowed Satan to deceive you and thinking that it's all right to be worldly. And all your energy and your effort and your time and your money is going to the world and not to Jesus. That's what Paul is trying to draw the picture here. He said, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity That's in Christ. For he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached. Or if you receive another spirit, which you have not received, and another gospel, which you have not accepted, you might bear with him. Paul is simply saying here that I am jealous with a godly jealousy because you have allowed Satan with his slick self to convince you that being disobedient to God is all right. And you are strong, full force, and doing what's wrong, but you're not full force and doing what's right. Every once in a while, I'm baffled. We baptize a lot of people in this city. Amen. Every once in a while, you're knocking on doors and you run across some folk that you baptized some years ago. And sometimes they don't get caught up in some denominational church. And they're gung-ho. And I'm scratching my head saying, goodness, right now, when you was over here, you would do nothing. I'm jealous. All that energy, all that excitement, working on ministries, helping the church grow, they're doing all that for Satan's church. But when they were here, they were sent and do absolutely nothing if they come at all. I understand what Paul is saying. I wish you would have that kind of energy you give into the world and the devil and give it to God. But Satan will convince you that what you're doing over there is all right for you to do. Because he has corrupted. My first thought is, now I'm going to try to make this short. He's always trying to complicate the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what Satan does. And Paul says, I fear, just like Satan, or the serpent he calls him in this text, when he got to Eve, he started changing the message. Because she said, God said, if I eat the fruit, I'm going to die. That's what God, she knew what God said. And you read the story yourself. And Paul is taking that information of history and saying, just like what Satan did to her, I'm concerned he's doing the same thing through you. God made it simple and clear. God said, don't touch this tree. What about that you don't understand? It's not that you don't understand it. You don't want to understand it. God said, everything else in here you can have, but this right here, you don't touch it. If you touch it, you're going to die. What do you don't understand about that? That's the simplicity of the message. And see, when Christ came along, Christ taught in simplistic measures as well. What do you don't understand about he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved? What's complicated about that? But Satan comes along and he complicates it. So, you know, that's kind of hard. I can't figure that out. You don't have to figure it out. You got to do it. We spend more time trying to figure out what the fruit was on the tree. And the Bible don't say. We're tired Bible class arguing over the fruit. And they still argue. I was looking at some documentary. They still arguing over what the fruit is. When the Bible don't say, it must not be important. What is the message? What's surrounding the story? Those are the things that God wants us to see. God wants to see that every detail, every commandment, every word of God is of absolute power. You got to obey it. You can't be omitting anything. You can't be compromising. You can't be saying, well, I don't see anything wrong with the tree. What's wrong with the tree? You mean tell me eating one fruit? It ain't for you to say all that. What you have to do is to do what God said. But there's always somebody coming along, Satan uses them, and they try to complicate things. You know, sometimes people, you ever have people like that in your life, they complicate things. What about this? Didn't we talk about this before? Why we keep going over the same old thing? I thought it was simple. The truth of the matter, sometimes we just act simple. You know, old folks say, look, you acting simple. Stop acting simple. They smack it, pop. Stop acting simple. Sometimes we need to be smacked upside the head. Because we act simple sometimes. Amen. Ain't nothing complicated about it at all. Just do this and that, and that's it. But we make it complicated. And Satan is a master of complicating the gospel of Jesus Christ. Secondly, I find Satan always contradicting the message. Because God told Eve, and she knows, she said, for God said, he said, no. God being hard on you. God being hard on you. That's a contradictory statement. Here God done put you in the garden. You ain't did nothing. Everything in there God gave you. Everything. God gave you one room. That's like having a child living in your house only got one chore. Amen. Now, all this you can enjoy, just one chore. Take trash out. Amen. What's complicated? And then you're going to go let your friends tell you, they're being hard on you. I'm trying to help somebody here. He's always contradicting the message of the cross. Because if you do what God said, you're going to be saved. And the devil doesn't want you to be saved, so he's always trying to contradict the message. In the world in which we live, we have many, many contradictions. The atheists are saying something. The evolutionists are saying something. Those who are relying on human wisdom, they are saying something. There are those who think that morality saves. Or I just join a church and be all right. There are those who are shirking their responsibilities. And those who are caught up in materialism. Those who are unfaithful to the cause of Jesus Christ. Those who are committed to human creeds. Those who are caught up in denominationalism. All these things are an onslaught, and they are attacking Christianity, and they are saying to the world that God's message is not important. You can do this. So Paul goes back and say, well, God said, if you eat the tree, you're going to die. You got to pay the price. You can dance around all you want to. The bottom line is you broke the rule, you suffer the consequences. You can let Satan deceive you and make you think you all right, but you broke the rule, you pay the consequences. You don't repent, you die in your sins. Jesus said, where I am, you can't come. The bottom line. You can dance with the devil all you want. You can be friends with the devil. You can sleep with the enemy. But the fact of the matter is that Satan is your enemy. He says in 1 Peter chapter 5, he said, be sober. He said, be vigilant. Because your adversary. Now we just read in Revelation 12, he said he has great wrath and he's mad at you. You say, well, I didn't do anything to the devil. I didn't do anything. Why are he mad at me? He mad at you, first of all, because you are created by God. And anything that God makes, the devil hates. That's deep, isn't it? Anything that God, it's like if a person hates you. If you ever had somebody in your life, they just despise you. They just can't stand you. So that means, let me hold your pen, brother. That means if this is your pen and you need a pen and they bring it to you, I hate that pen. I don't want that. You know, there are people, they're so bent on this hatred that anything connected to you, they hate as well. And that's how bent Satan is. Anything that's connected to God, he hates it. And if you are connected to God, he hates you. So the Bible says he comes down with great wrath. He's mad. And he's going to do his best to mess you up. This is deep stuff, church. Satan and his subtlety. He said he corrupts our minds. He does it in a number of ways. Well, first of all, I think he does it. He can do it through the radio and through the television. Amen, somebody. He can cause us, as I said before, to become sympathetic to those who have gone astray. You know, every time you turn the television on, there's somebody committing fornication. The Bible says fornicators going to hell. That's what God said. That's what God said. But we have been desensitized. Amen. So homosexuality going to hell. We have been so desensitized. So desensitized that our favorite shows. Some years ago, I remember they had that show. I don't know if it's still on now, Living Single. When they were surveying that one, it had top ratings for a long time. Everybody on the show fornicating. You see what sells? Sex sells. A car commercial got a naked woman laying across the hood. What does that have to do with this? They know it sells. And we see it so much that it desensitizes us, that we don't really believe it's wrong. Satan has fooled us through the radio. We listen to the rap music. We're wearing pants hanging down. We're caught up in the culture. 15 earrings in this ear, one in the nose, one in the tongue, one in the mouth, one up here, tattoos here and there. We caught up. Amen, somebody. Mini skirts, cleavage showing, we caught up. Trying to be like the world because Satan has got us thinking, ain't nothing wrong with it. Oh, I better quit. Somebody throw stones. But Satan uses worldly influence. Jesus told his disciples a long time ago, he said, you know, you're in the world, but you're not. He told the Romans, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God. Well, we need some mercy. Lord, we need mercy. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to the world. Huh. That's a different terminology. Acceptable to God. What is acceptable to God? Well, all you got to do really is find out what the world like. Because James said that friendship with the world is enmity with God. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2 that the prince of the power of this air ruleth the world. Satan runs the world. So all you have to do is find out what the world is doing and then don't do that. Because it's not of God. Amen. But sometimes we get influenced by the world. All our heroes are lost. The folk we listen to, not saved. Amen, somebody. Our favorite shows filled with devils. I was surfing the channel one day, and they got a channel for gay folk. I was shocked. I said, I know that man. I'm kissing that man. And I watched it for a few minutes. Now, I wasn't being intrigued. I was just surprised. Is this on television? And they cheat on each other. I said, oh, Lord, man, what is it coming to? And we're marching about rights. The world is influencing us. Satan is the puppeteer. He's holding the world on strings. They're doing what I want them to do. Now, let me get the Christians to join in. Come on, come on. All little children, come. All little children. We having fun over here. Come on, all little children, like the piper. And we come marching behind. Yeah, we're going to get hand candy, Hansel and Gretel. We're going to go eat the gingerbread house. And we get over there, the wicked witch eat us. That's how Satan, he says Satan is the most subtle beast in the field. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Man, you got to keep your guard up. Let me close this thing out. You got to keep your armor on. He said, put on the whole armor of God. That's the only way you can fight against the wiles of the devil. James said, the only way you can beat the devil is you got to resist him. You got to draw nigh to God. You got to get close to God. This morning we were talking about the importance of attendance and Bible study and worship. And I know we have a lot of legalists in the Lord's church who believe if I come once a Sunday, I'm doing fine with God. Well, this preacher don't believe that. This preacher believes that when you love God, you want to be around those who love God as much as you can. You can't put bounds and limitations on my spiritual growth because we're living in the law of liberality, not under the Mosaic law of legality. Legality means I did this, I don't have to do no more. And sometimes we bring that over into the New Testament church and say, I came Sunday morning, I don't have to come Sunday night. That's like me telling my wife, I kiss you this morning, why I gotta kiss you tonight? When you love somebody, you want to kiss them all the time. I ain't trying to mess with nobody. I'm just trying to make a point. Help a preacher out. Just trying to make a point. So when you are concerned about your spiritual life and you realize that the world and the devil is the enemy, I need Christians in my life as much as I possibly can. Because if not, the devil gonna get me. I'm next on his list. Unless I already, he's already got me. Thirdly, let me close up. We know the devil, he's famous in causing controversies even among us. I tell you, he's busy now. He's a busy somebody. He's a busy little bee. He's always complicating the gospel, contradicting the message, and causing controversy even among us. He doesn't like peace in the church. Amen, somebody. God said, it's good and pleasant for brethren to dwell together in unity. God is so concerned about unity that he tells the disciples that when you come to worship and you bring your gift to the altar and at the altar you remember you've done somebody wrong, put your gift down, go make it right, then come worship. Amen, somebody. Because you can come to worship all you want, but God may not accept your worship. Unity is so important to God. Yes. They said on one occasion with the man and his wife, let not man put asunder. It's so important to be unified. Don't let the devil get in. Don't let anybody or anything get in. Because unity is so important. Right. But the devil don't want unity. That's right. So he's going to get in somebody's heart. Yeah. When Paul was leaving, in Acts chapter 20, he called the elders together. Now, these were the spiritual men in the church, supposedly. But Paul said, when I depart, the wolves are going to enter in, not sparing the flock. Secondly, some of your own selves, some of y'all are going to rise up and turn on each other. He said, I've been crying about this thing for 3 years. I knew when I leave, I knew it was going to happen. I've been crying about it. I've been about a space of 3 years because I know as soon as I leave, the devil going to come in. As soon as I leave, the devil going to get in one of y'all. So he was talking to the folk, a church, these elders, and which was an established church because they've been there for some time. They had elders and all that, but they were still teaching false doctrine. He sent Timothy down there and said, command them that they teach no other doctrine. But he said the devil got in them and had them at odds with one another. In Philippians chapter 4, there were two sisters at odds with each other. Remember Euodias and Syntyche? He said, warn them that they be of the same mind. Unity is so important. He said in Ephesians 4, 3, he said, endeavoring to keep the unity of the spirit in the bond of peace. The devil doesn't like peace. His workers, according to 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 2 Corinthians 11, verse, I think I want 15. Well, let me start with verse 13. He says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing that if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Satan knows how to make it appear to be righteous. Amen. And Satan can use a member of the church to cause controversy in the church. Now, Paul knew what he was talking about. Paul said in Romans 10, he said, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. I bear record, Paul said. Why? I used to be one of them. They have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. He said in Philippians chapter 3, Paul said he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, a Pharisee of the Pharisee, of the tribe of Benjamin concerning the law, blameless and persecuted the church. He had his own ministry. But Paul said when he wrote to Timothy, I thought I was right, but I did it in ignorance and in unbelief. I really thought I was over there doing it, and I thought I was working for God. Satan had me believing that fighting the church was God's work. That's deep, isn't it? Satan had Paul bent all around, thinking that throwing members in jail, stoning Stephen, hauling women, dragging them through the streets was God's work. And sometimes Satan can use members of the church. They oppose everything. They object to everything. They have a spirit of indifference about everything. And they actually believe that what they're doing is right. Sometimes they may say something silly like, y'all brothers ought to get together and stand against Brother Goodman. Is he not living right? Is he teaching false doctrine? Is he running the women? Is he stealing the money? Why should we be against him without just cause? Just cause I said so. Now, I just threw that out of the head. That's not nobody guilty of that, because nobody's against Brother Goodman. I just know that Satan knows how to get in the church and cause you not to speak to her, and cause you not to speak to him, or cause y'all not to fellowship with them. Satan knows how to get in, and it gets in your mind. And we out to dinner, you trying to justify your ungodliness by downing everybody else. That's what Satan does. Amen, somebody. Satan doesn't want us to be unified, because, man, if we ever get unified, we're going to tear Annapolis up. We're going to fill this building up twice. We're going to build another sanctuary in. And I know somebody bought this land over here, but it ain't going to last long. That's our land. Once we make up our minds, we're going to be unified and not going to let the devil get in and mess us up. We're going to do great things for God. We got to get past patching up differences and patching up holes and licking wounds. It's time to move on in the service of the Lord. Amen. Because 2008 is going to be great. I got to stop. I'm not through. But I have to stop. Just wanted to remind you today, the devil is busy. And as I said, we can't stop him from being busy. We just have to get busier. Somebody said an idle mind is the devil's workshop. When you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, that's an excellent time for the devil to use you. When I was going back in 1 and 2 Samuel and reading about how David got caught up with Bathsheba, just to make a point, it was interesting to me that I never really paid attention to the first part of that chapter. Where the Bible talks about how a war was going on, and David had sent his men out. See, normally the leader leads the men out. But he sent the men out. He's going to take, a sabbatical, if you will. I'm just gonna chill for a couple of weeks. I'm just going to take a break, if you will. I'm just vacation, if you will. But the point of the matter is, he wasn't doing what he's supposed to be doing. So as a result, he had plenty of time on his hand to be peekabooing on the man next door's wife. And it led to a downfall. So I look at it and said, man, that's powerful. So we have to look at what happened, what brought about all this stuff. See, if he would have just went to work that day, he might have missed a bath. If he'd have been doing what he was supposed to be doing. See, when you don't do what you're supposed to be doing, that's how Satan gets you. When you idle, not studying, not praying, not fellowship with Christians like you should, Satan get to working on you. And then when trials and tribulations start coming in your life, Satan just, he's sifting you like Jesus said about Peter. He just keeps turning the handle. And you don't know how to handle the turns. And he's turning trials, tribulations, disappointments, defects, deceits, all the D words that I named. Then finally, destroy. He moves in on you for the kill. He wants to wipe you out completely. Amen, somebody. And sometimes he gives us a blow that we never really recover from. That's why James said, you know, you gotta fight the devil. I know he's a powerful force, and you figure he's gonna have his way in your life. That's not true. Because the Bible says, one of those verses, he said, they overcame him by the word of God, by the blood, what's it, of the Lamb, and by the testimony of the word. He said, they overcame. So now he's really mad now. What? What you mean you ain't gonna smoke no more? Oh, we're gonna see about that. I'm gonna invent a new cigarette. No. Satan will do some stuff. Amen. What you mean you ain't gonna mess with Sally no more? You gonna be faithful to your wife? Huh, let me see. Now see, that's a hoochie mama right over there. And she's hot to trot. Them little hot in front of you. I'm trying to get somebody's attention here. I want you to see how sneaky Satan is. When you overcome him, say, no, you ain't taking me out like that. I'm not leaving the church. And then he puts you at odds with some members in the church. So you don't enjoy coming no more because there's some friction. And I don't want to be around friction. So I'm not going to come. As I said, you got to see Satan. You know, Satan is busy. Just don't say it. Believe it. And he's trying his best, church. I made my mind up. Amen. Not going to let him get me. Amen. That's why I say 2008 going to be great. Because I made up my mind. Amen. Whatever weaknesses I had last year, I ain't going to have them this year. Amen. I'm going to say no to Satan. Every time Satan, a thought comes in my mind, Paul said, bring every thought in captivity into the obedience of Christ. When evil comes in my mind, I get it out of my mind. Amen. Grab the word. Stop praying. Call somebody up. So Satan won't be working on me. Satan, there's no place for you in my life anymore. You got to resist him and draw nigh to God. Let me get near God. Let me find some godly people and hang around them. When you hang around godly people, Satan can't get you as easily. He gets us best when we're by ourselves. I don't need to be by myself because he's going to work on me. I need to always be around Christians. And I need to have my Bible with me everywhere I go. Even if I use it, put my Bible up. You can ward off a lot of people. See, the word is more than just protection spiritually. It's your protection physically. You just keep that Bible with you wherever you go and hold it up like it's your lantern when you walk in the room. All devils back up. God's child is coming through. If you're here, you're not a member of the body of Christ, we encourage you, we invite you to make that decision to become a Christian. You owe it to yourself. God loves you so much, he sent Jesus. He loves you so much, he died for your sins. He don't want you to go to hell. He don't want you to be used by Satan. He wants to use you so you can go to heaven. But the decision is yours. And you're the only one that can make that decision. You can do it this morning. You've heard the word. Do you believe it with all your heart? Are you willing to repent of your sins? Confess your faith in Jesus Christ and be baptized. All your sins will be washed away. You can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You can be added to the Lamb's Book of Life. Become a member of the Church of Christ. And you can leave this place rejoicing like the eunuch did. Because you know what you did was in the Bible.
And come on back tonight and start off the Christian life the right way, worshiping God and fellowship with the saints, and start dedicating your time and your resources to the building up of the kingdom of God. If you're a member of the body of Christ, but Satan been turning you every which way but loose. Maybe you've been deceived, living in deception. One foot in the world, the other foot in the church. Well, I'm trying to please them over here, but I'm trying to please them on. Look, you got to leave the folk alone. You need to shake the dust off your feet and give your whole self to the kingdom of God. They're going to be mad. And Paul said, we got to serve God, not man. We got to please God, not man. I'd rather for them to be mad than for God to be mad. We don't think God mad while we're over here with them. God mad too. Jesus said, if you die over there, you can't come over here. So it's best now to shake off the shackles of sin and say, no more. I'm giving it all to God now. Today is the first day of the rest of my life. Yeah, I've been baptized, but I haven't been giving my all to God. I've been giving the world more time than I have the kingdom. The kingdom needs to be